Pastor Stephen Shelton.
Hello, good afternoon. So right before I walked on stage, Spencer asked me if I was going to bring the water bottle up with me, and I said no, and he said, well, you should, and I said, I mean, Pastor John had his coffee cup, and Pastor Bobby had his Pepsi, so I just brought the water just because I wanted to fit in, honestly, at this point. I just felt like that was super important. Hey, the title of my talk today is Generational Manhood, and as I started kind of looking into this, what obviously stood out to me was I have a father. I am a father with a son. As I started thinking about this idea of manhood, I thought, if I asked my grandfather what manhood meant to him, would he give me a different answer than if I asked my dad? And if I asked my son 20 years from now what manhood meant to him, would he give me a different answer than I would give you today? You see, Scripture talks about how one generation will praise his works one to the next. Can we put that scripture up? Psalm 145, verse 4. It says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And I was thinking about generational manhood, and the utmost call of a man is to declare the works of the Lord from one generation to the next. Now, the Passion Translation of that's really cool. It says this, generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and declare more of your glory. So what I take from that is this. It's my generation's responsibility to make sure that the generation that comes after me can declare more about who God is than I was even able to. We talk a lot in the church about the next generation and passing the torch. And as the young adults pastor, I feel equipped to talk about this because my job is to be the bridge, so to speak, between young men and grown men, so to speak. You know, 21 is younger now than it ever has been. You know what I mean by that? That the world culture tells us that you can be younger for longer. You can be a boy for longer. You can stay on your parents' insurance plan later. You can live at home later. And then there is this idea that culture shapes what manhood is. And culture, the world around us, is defining it. In fact, when it comes to manhood, culture tells us that you can basically choose to be or identify as whatever you want to. That there are multiple opportunities for you to choose a gender. There are multiple opportunities for you to say what you identify with. But I believe that instead of the shifting sand of the world being what defines a man, it should be the solid rock foundation church that tells the world what a man is. And that scripture that says that one generation will declare his works to the next, and the Passion Translation saying more and more of that, it means to me that we have a responsibility as men to tell our sons about the glory of God. We have a responsibility as men. Do you know every man is anointed and called and equipped to be three things, a father, a son, and a brother. Even if you don't have natural sons, even if you don't have natural brothers, in the kingdom, you are equipped to be a father, a son, and a brother. That means that whether you have sons or whether you don't have any natural children, you have a responsibility to declare the works of the Lord to the next generation. That you have a responsibility to live the glory of God. You know, it talks about going from glory to glory in 2 Corinthians, and that's not glory to different glory, that's glory to greater glory. That as time goes, we should not be seeing not just different things, but greater things in the kingdom. And as men taking the lead in our homes and taking the lead in the church, it is our responsibility to enable that and equip that into the next generation. It's often said that there are things that are taught and things that are caught. And I would suggest to you, though, that of those things that are taught, it's hard to learn something that somebody's not willing to teach. And it's hard to catch something that somebody's not willing to throw. So I have a 4-year-old son, and one of the first games as a father you learn to play with your son is catch, right? And so when my son was 2 years old and I was just, man, we are believing God for a left-handed 95-mile-an-hour pitcher in our home. And so Joel will start throwing something with his right hand. I'm like, no, son, let's throw it with the left. Better chance of getting drafted that way. He's kind of doing both right now, but we'll figure that out anyway. So, you know, the first game I learned to play with Joel when he was little was catch. And so I would stand here with a ball, and he would stand over there and say, catch. And he would stare at me and watch the ball bounce off of him. And I'd say, okay, let's try it again, let's try it again, let's try it again. Catch. And then he would just sort of grasp at it like that and wouldn't catch it. My point about this is that in order for something to be caught, you've got to have two things. You've got to have a thrower and you've got to have a catcher. So when it comes to faith and when it comes to facilitating the move of God in the next generation, I think one of the biggest misconceptions in this generational divide is among younger people that they're not willing to throw it, and among older people that they're not willing to catch it. But see, here's the thing that we've got to learn, what we've got to accept is that there's a call of God on every generation. The prophet Joel says in the last days, he'll pour out a spirit upon all flesh. And then there's assignment for older men and there's an assignment for younger men. See, no one's left out of that. You don't expire at a certain point and pass the torch. There is still a responsibility and assignment for you, even in the later seasons of your life. And as young men, we can never assume that it's not our time. You want to know one of my least favorite things to hear? That my generation is the church of tomorrow. Can I suggest something to you?
Yes.
My generation is the church of whenever we can be.
That's right. Right now.
And I believe that our children's ministry is the church of today.
Yes.
I believe that our youth ministry is the church of today. I believe that our children, our young people are as ready to be the church of today as our fathers are willing to allow.
That's right.
Now listen to this. It's not just getting out of the way though. It's playing catch. It's teaching. There are things that have to be taught, and that requires two people being willing to exchange in information. It requires open hearts and open spirits to receive, and it requires open hearts and open spirits to give and to teach. You know, we're blessed to be in a ministry where this is happening every single day. But as I look around, you know, there's a scripture, a prophecy in the book of Malachi where it talks about how it says that in the last days that he'll turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about how it is the enemy's plan and strategy to prolong that as long as possible. You understand, the enemy would like to prolong the end. He knows what's coming for him. He knows he loses. His only strategy is to just delay the inevitable as much as possible. And so if he can keep the hearts of fathers away from their children and the hearts of children away from their fathers, he can at least for a second feel like he's accomplishing something. But it is the heart of God for children and their fathers to be of one mind and one spirit and a united church. And can I tell you that what the world needs more than anything in a time of division in our country is a united church? United across race, united across across denomination, united across generation. That I would suggest to you that the devil cannot stop a church whose generations are united and coming together as one. The devil cannot stop a church whose fathers are for their sons and whose sons are for their fathers. One of the most humbling experiences as a parent, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this, is recognizing behavior in my son and getting so frustrated with him and asking my wife, why does he do that? Why does he continue to do this over and over and over again? And then having the epiphany that he does that because he's seen you do that. That he sees me do certain things. He sees my behavior and he emulates that behavior. It's humbling. And it reminds me that the eyes of our children are always on us as fathers. That our responsibility as fathers for the next generation is to not only be what we want them to be, but to set them up to be more than what we were. To set them up so that they can run longer, they can run harder, they can go further into things than we had the opportunity to. That's the heart of God for the church. That's the heart of God for our sons. What does generational manhood mean? It means that our generation, my generation, sets up the next generation to have it better than we did. It means that the generation before me helped set that up for us so that there is a continual increasing, that we go from glory to glory to glory till the return of Jesus.
Yes.
What Jesus is coming back for is a glorious church. And that means that we've got to take the next step in glory. We've got to take the next step for the next generation to take that and run with it. What is the ultimate demonstration of manhood? Declaring the works of the Lord from one generation to the next. Because we're really good at being brothers, man. We are. We get that part pretty well established, you know? But I think it's harder to be sons and it's harder to be fathers sometimes. Because it requires an exchange of information. It requires a vulnerability that we can sometimes see as not being an expression of manhood. That if I'm real with my son and say, hey, I want you to avoid this, let me show you a better way, that it's me being weak and less of a man. When in reality, my heart for my son is that he would never experience the things that I experienced. That he would not go through some of the mistakes that I made, that he could avoid those pitfalls. That our heart for our sons would not be, do as I say, not as I do, but watch me declare the works of the Lord to your generation. So that more and more of the work of the Lord, more and more of the glory of God is declared in your generation than it was in mine. That more and more signs and wonders are evident in your generation than they were in mine. That's the heart of God. That the next generation would have all the tools that they need because of the fathers that poured into them. This is my part to pitch to you, that if you are not a natural father, if you don't have your own biological sons, it's time to find a son. And if you're a son who feels a little bit like an orphan, it's time to find a father. It's time to recognize that our generation doesn't have it all figured out. That our generation needs our fathers in order to take the next step into everything that God's called for us. That we need men of God, mighty men of God who have seen it and heard it and done it to say, this is the way, follow me. That takes humility, but that takes a strength that to me is the epitome of generational manhood. That we go from one glory to the next because we as fathers are willing to show our sons what it takes, and we as sons are willing to ask of our fathers, what does it take? See, we can be on both sides of the coin here, and it's very easy when you're in one generation to say, ah, they don't get it. Or on this side and say, they'll never understand me. And it's the age-old paradox. You can't understand what you're not wanting to understand. And why would you ask for something you think you've got figured out all on your own? I believe that there is coming in the church a unity of believers, and more than that, a unity of men who would stand up and say, I'm willing to be a father and I'm willing to be a son. You don't ever stop being a son. 34 years old, I'm still my dad's son. And as old, no matter how old my son is, I'll always be his dad. You never stop needing a father. You never stop being a son. And it is our responsibility, it is our obligation to make sure that we're raising up sons to take the church from this glory to the next glory, declaring more and more of the works and the glory of God. Thank you. You guys have a great day.